proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions with another radio Bible study. We pick up our examination of the Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter number 24. And Jesus Christ talking about his second coming. He informed his disciples, quote, "Of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only." Was Jesus Christ implicitly declaring his own lack of omniscience, that is to say, knowing everything? Some commentators have argued that Jesus Christ implicitly denied his deity in this passage, because he said there was something in prophecy that he did not know. Was he in fact denying his deity? That position would be inconsistent with other statements made throughout the Gospels. For example, according to the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus Christ publicly affirmed his identity with his Heavenly Father, telling a crowd of Jews that, quote, "I and my Father are one." When he stood before a Jewish council, as recorded in Mark chapter 14, he was asked if he was the Christ, the Son of the Blessed, and he openly asserted his deity at that time. Well, if Jesus Christ did not mean that he was not omniscient, what did he mean to imply when he declared that of that day and hour knoweth no man, but my Father only? We can look at the parallel passage in Mark chapter 13 and compare it with the text of Matthew 24. In context, the Savior's reference seems to allude not to his lack of omniscience, but to his refusal to independently exercise his omniscience, apart from his Father's directive will. He had already enunciated this guiding principle in his earthly ministry. In John chapter 8, he exclaimed, quote, "I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things," unquote. Jesus Christ was not alluding to his lack of omniscience, but to his unwillingness to undertake independent action apart from and under the direction of his Heavenly Father. Nonetheless, Jesus Christ did leave his disciples some hints regarding when the second coming would occur. He compared the circumstances at that time to the events of Noah's times. Quote, "As the days of Noah was, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be," unquote. Jesus Christ here said that when he returns to earth, he will find people conducting their lives in the same way they've always done. They will congregate to celebrate special occasions, eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage. They will think that life will go on as it is until Jesus Christ's second coming, when things will change dramatically. Something similar happened in the days of Noah. When he constructed the ark, Noah warned his contemporaries to flee from the divine wrath to come. Sad to say, his peers did not heed his warnings. As a result, they perished in the flood. As in Noah's day, the inhabitants of the earth will ignore the message of those who preach about the impending judgment of God. Peter, in the third chapter of his second epistle, described how such scoffers would react. They would say, quote, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." In Noah's day, the flood took people by surprise. In the last days, God's judgment will take people by surprise. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio program.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.